This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome back to Wednesday at 9 p.m., Season 1, Episode 26, probably looking like the season finale. And this Wednesday at 9 p.m., we dive into why going to church just may save your friend from monster attacks, why Nessie could be a hoax from Big Marmaduke, and why literally anything could be the Loch Ness Monster.
1 year, almost.
I know.
Of
it's crazy.
Think about where it started. It started with a missing tombstone, and now we're at the Loch Ness Monster.
We've come so far, and yet not far at all at the same time.
We're going all the way to Scotland.
That's true. We've gone all over the... Have we gone all over the world?
What started out as wanting to be local stories, we are now in Scotland.
Yes.
Hey, I am by no means the first one.
No, I know.
Are you 1/32nd Scottish, Aaron?
No, actually, I have no ties to this other than Fallon and I watched a documentary about it, and I got really interested. So
that's great.
I
want to deep dive. Here's to 1 year of Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Cheers.
Clink.
First year out of probably what, like 3 dozen?
3,000. Did you forget the pack?
Yeah, this is going to pay for my retirement, right, guys?
Yeah, so there are the next 1,000 incarnations of our lives.
1,000.
So I guess before we get too much deeper into Nessie, we should probably do some shout outs. So on my end, there's a shout out to Fallon, obviously. And shout out to Troy from Nick. Nick, any other shout outs?
Yep,
from
shout
you?
Out to my mom and Maddie. And you know what? Shout out to Alistair Crowley for creating the Loch Ness Monster.
Something tells me Aaron didn't go that route, but you're damn right, Nick. Damn right.
I didn't go that route, but
we'll
crazy
sprinkle
stories.
It in it as we go.
Yes. Shout out to Sarah and my intramural soccer team. It was no idea.
I was going
to
say, do they know yet?
No, they do not. But if I'm late today,
I think Frank's trying to stay on the team.
I'll let them know. Yeah, I'm... But yeah, that's all.
All right. Any organizational announcements other than we're still here? But yeah, end of the season. I don't know if anything is going to change at all remotely.
Yeah, fully in person with you, the viewer.
Yeah. In order to listen to this podcast, you have to come watch us.
This is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Also known as a conversation with friends.
Dude, tech bro just finding out conversations.
All right. So, what do you guys know about the Loch Ness Monster? Except for, like, apparently Aleister Crowley.
I know that it's a big fish mammal, maybe. Who knows? Yeah, Aleister Crowley created it. And there was a Scooby-Doo movie, Scooby-Doo and the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, that's probably the best primary source we have.
I guess so. It doesn't get better than that.
Who was the Loch Ness Monster, Nick?
Who was?
Yeah, who was the Loch Ness Monster?
It was a person?
Yeah, it was a robot.
It was a robot?
Yeah, but then at the end, there's a real one.
Oh, kind of like Gravity Falls.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Gobblewonker. That's like episode 2.
That is episode 2.
Okay, so Nick, you described it as a fish mammal thing that you're not really sure.
Yeah.
All right, Frank, can you do better than that?
My understanding is that there have been a few sightings, some notable sightings that have been reported over the decades, since the story does go back decades.
The classic image that we'll put in the show notes.
Yes, well, I don't know the stories behind any of the classic images or anything. I do know like one story of like a couple driving that saw it cross the street or something like that, but I really don't know
there's
much.
There's a lot of sightings. So I didn't include them all in this because
you
I just
didn't include every single sighting.
No, there's like hundreds, and Frank apparently doesn't have time to record hundreds.
Part two.
But no, there's hundreds of sightings over not just decades, Frank, centuries.
Centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Are there like, is there cave art?
Okay, not that
that's
far
millennia.
Back. Keep in mind, fun fact, the Loch Ness is only 10,000 years old. So not as far back as cavemen.
Interesting. Okay. It was only, what, was it like glaciers from the last ice age or something?
I think it came after, but yeah, there's probably, I didn't look too deep into the loch itself, but.
What does loch mean? Is it just?
Lake.
That makes sense.
Wait, so it's literally translated to Lake Ness, but Loch sounds so much cooler.
It also just sounds what like a Scotsman with a really thick accent would call a lake.
Loch Ness Monster.
See?
That's good.
See? Yeah.
That's good. I'm going to clip that.
Yeah, you're going to clip that?
As a soundboard?
Yeah, on the soundboard.
All right. Well, you guys are pretty on par, but there's so much more than what you've described.
Awesome.
So first, I think I'm going to get into the sightings, kind of take you through the history of like some of the cooler ones that I found. Then maybe touch a little bit on some of the deep searches that have been done. And then finish out with some possible explanations.
Great.
So first up. 565 AD.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Rome fell.
It was around
okay,
then.
We're in Scotland, but yes, Rome probably fell by that point. So there's a book called The Life of Saint Columba. Now, do you guys know who Saint Columba is? I had no idea.
I'm going to guess, since I know that lots of books around this time were written about saints. Hundreds of years after their death that just tell like stories about the adventures and the travels of saints. So is it something like that?
Oh, I wasn't asking about the book. I'm asking like, do you know the Saint Columba?
It's a Scottish himself?
Like saint? Yeah, it's Scottish, but I didn't know if you knew like any insider details that I didn't know.
He sounds like Columbo from the
old show.
The crime
Detective.
Show.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
had a glass eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really find too much more. I was hoping you guys potentially offhand knew, but he was an Irish monk or abbot or whatever you want to call him. So he was staying in what is now known as Scotland. And they met some locals that were burying a man by the River Ness, not to be confused with the Loch Ness. This is the River Ness.
Of course.
So, you know, reasonably, they go up to the men and they're like, hey, what happened? And they told St. Columba that this man that they were burying was swimming in the River Ness until he was attacked by a monster that attacked and dragged him under the water. And the men that are now burying him tried to rescue him with the boat, but were unsuccessful. So that's pretty crazy on its own. But, you know, that's just people telling stories. Columba took it a step further. He went to the River Ness with one of his followers. Now, I'm going to butcher this name, so if anyone wants to try and correct me. Luing Mokumin, who I will hereafter
is that Linguini?
Refer to as... No, it kind of looks like Linguini, but no.
if he's Irish, it's probably Gaelic, and it probably doesn't sound anything like how it looks.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to try. One of his followers asked him to swim across the river. So Columba told this guy, hey, can you swim across the river? And I don't know that I'd trust him after what just went down, but he did. And sure enough, the monster approached him. And before it could attack him, St. Columba made the sign of the cross and commanded, go no further. Do not touch the man. Go back at once.
Whoa.
And it was described that the monster was kind of like halted and held back seemingly by rope. But it just
stopped dead in his tracks and fled in reaction to that.
Whoa. So,
yeah. The power of prayer.
You know, I did quick pull up St. Columba. And I, can I just say I was right?
What?
Connection to my story about the stone caves that are found in the Catskills.
Okay.
One of the theories for what those were, since no one knows, is that they were built by Irish monks that sailed to proselytize in the New World.
Good word.
Thank you. St. Columba was an Irish missionary who is credited with spreading Christianity to Scotland. So he was one of those Irish monks, because supposedly back then in that time period, 500s, 600s, 700s, for whatever reason, Irish monks were obsessed with going on really big seafaring adventures to spread Christianity. So he was one of them. Pretty cool.
So what you're telling me is the Loch Ness Monster put those stone circles up.
Oh my goodness.
Fortresses or whatever.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. Good to know. Debunked. All right. So yeah, pretty crazy story. Very interesting. Like, he just kind of stopped the monster. Now, there's some debate, because obviously this was the River Ness, not the Loch Ness. So was it the same monster we know and love? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the story was fabricated. But it could have also been another monster, such as a Kelpie. You guys know Kelpies, right?
Yeah.
For the audience's sake.
Yeah, for the audience's sake. Remind them.
Nick, you volunteered first?
So I believe they're almost like water nymphs, but like the Scottish version, and they'll just kind of, I don't think they're as like seductive, like lure you to the water because they're beautiful and then they drown you. I think they're more kind of like playful, but if you make them mad. Is it the Japanese one where they have the bowl of water in their heads?
I think that's the Scottish one. Yeah.
Probably.
But yeah, they're basically like the Scottish water nymph.
Yeah, pretty much. And they think they're often seen in the form of a horse or something.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
So, could have been a Kelpie. But there's a lot of debate. Kind of hard to say because it was, 1,500 years ago? So, but yeah, that's the oldest account I found. Now, there are some other sightings that started to pick up in the late 1800s. There were a few sightings of a creature propelling itself in the water at high speeds. And people would send this into, you know, the water bailiff.
There was a water bailiff?
Yes. It pretty much is. It's kind of like the Coast Guard, essentially. but it's just, you know, they're like the water police. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they submitted some reports to water bailiff Alex Campbell. So remember that name because it's going to come up. And accounts of this creature varied from looking like a log, an overturned boat, a large stubby legged animal, or even a salamander. So
interesting.
Doesn't quite sound like the Nessie we know, but more on that. So, skip ahead a few decades. 1933. The article. May 2nd, the Inverness Courier published one of the best known articles that sparked the Loch Ness Monster story, describing a large beast or whale-like fish. So in the article, The Strange Spectacle in Loch Ness, it was written by none other than Alex Campbell, that water bailiff from a few decades before.
Oh, wow. So he must have been young. Yeah. Youngish.
He must have been. I didn't really look into him as a person, but probably was pretty young or lived a full life. And so the article discusses the experience of Aldi McKay and her husband John when they were driving on the A-82 a couple weeks before. Now, I have no idea what the A82 is.
Must be a highway.
I'm assuming it's a highway. Yeah, it's a major road in Scotland. So I'm just going to read an excerpt from the article. The creature disported itself, rolling and plunging for fully a minute, its body resembling that of a whale and water cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron. Oh. Soon, however, it disappeared in a boiling mass of foam. Both onlookers confessed that there was something uncanny about the whole thing, for they realized that here was no ordinary denizen of the depths, because apart from its enormous size, the beast, in taking the final plunge, sent out waves that were big enough to have caused by a passing steamer. So this is a big creature that did all this.
It's the big
kahuna. What are your thoughts on that?
Wait, so boiling mass of foam and the water is cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron?
Yeah.
So is there
writing was so much better back then.
That's so true, right? That paints a beautiful picture. They must have been prepping for their GRE, like Nick, all that vocab. I'm just curious, like, is that implying it was giving off heat? It was excessive heating heat. The water? Like excessive heat? Or is that something that would happen from any large...
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think they're kind of just describing like the aggressiveness at which it's like diving and churning and stuff.
And it's
like,
just it's, so huge.
It's creating so many bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
So... But yeah, it's crazy. So there are a couple issues, disclaimer, with this article. McKay, the lady that reported it, claims that she knew about the oral tradition of a beast in the loch well before she made her claims.
Interesting. So
this was it was a thing beforehand, and it's possible, you know, maybe she made it up, but we'll take her word for it. Now, Alex Campbell also stated in the article that Loch Ness has for generations been credited with being a home for a fearsome looking monster. So I guess it was pretty common knowledge at that point that there was something.
But wow, for generations.
So this is the first article that really sparked like a wave of Loch Ness monster sightings and whatnot. So.
But that implies, even before it was put to paper and put in articles and such, it was kind of just like a local thing, right? Like they just knew you'd pass down stories through oral tradition, right?
Exactly.
That's so cool. I wish we had oral tradition about monsters in the Hudson.
Yeah, we do. It's called Wednesday at 9 p.m.
True. We should like make up little things and seed them in the communities that we live in.
I'm pretty sure everything we're making up, right, guys? Yeah. So, again, 1933, big year for the Loch Ness Monster. So, this is where the plesiosaur comes into play. So, George Spicer and his wife witnessed a large creature about 4 foot tall and 25 feet long, with a neck and the width of the road. At about, wow. So I guess the neck was as long as the road, not wide, but at about 10 to 12 feet long. And this thing just crossed in front of their car.
This is the one I knew.
Block. Most likely, yeah. There's a couple stories where there's like a couple and they're driving and there's a thing crossing.
Never mind then.
This is probably the one you know. It was likened in the story to a dragon or prehistoric animal, described as having an animal in its mouth, potentially webbed feet, and moving rather quickly. So, like, they couldn't quite get all the details, like, about a tail and stuff, because it was just moving that fast. So, what's important about this sighting is it was the first account of the Loch Ness Monster resembling a plesiosaur, as well as the first use of the actual name. Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, okay.
Now, another disclaimer. This one might have been faked as well. So academics believe this sighting was faked because August 1933, when this story came out, was also a very popular time for the hit movie King Kong, in which a long-necked dinosaur rises out of the lake. So,
well,
people think that that's the inspiration.
Academics would try to debunk it. What do they know?
Yeah.
What do they only know?
Studied in school.
Yeah, exactly. But
nerds.
I want to point out this one. This one's really interesting because this one has like some meat to it, right? The description.
Mm-hmm.
4 feet tall numbers. And 25 feet long with the neck the width of the road?
Yeah. Like as long as the road. So like, you know, it's...
Oh, okay. Imagine, I thought girth.
Okay, no. I was like, wait a minute. So I tried to clarify.
I see, didn't I skip
neck it day. Was about the girth, they said, of like an elephant trunk. So
I see.
Still pretty sizable.
So I don't know if we'll get into this later, but there's theories here that would explain the sightings that don't have to be that there's a creature that lives in like Ness, Loch Ness. Do you want me mm-hmm. to get into that now or should we hold that?
If you want to touch on it.
I'll touch on it. Time warp.
Oh, I did okay. not think that's where you were going.
I definitely don't talk about this later, so.
In many other stories, people will encounter someone will be walking along or someone will be, or even a group of people will suddenly experience something that seems to be out of time, out of the current time that they're in. So maybe they will see a city that they're in all of a sudden looking like it did 100 years ago or 200 years ago. And they'll briefly interact with someone or even just view it. This could be people going to weird locations in and around Loch Ness where they see a glimpse of the past and they see creatures of the past temporarily. Not a creature that exists in the current time, but they're, I guess the more common term for this is time slip. So a time slip encounter.
That's very interesting. I hadn't obviously seen that because it's not the mainstream.
No, it's not a mainstream traditional.
That's why I was hoping you guys would come with these angles.
Yes.
Don't worry, I'll do the Crowley one later.
Perfect. Yeah, okay. We'll have the two very different angles. So people have told stories. There's famous stories of two middle-aged women in Paris who have a time slip and see it in like the 1700s, like C-1700s Paris for like a few hours. There are so many stories like this. And so I wouldn't be surprised if people see animals that don't exist in the current time period during a time slip.
Wow.
Just the theory.
That's a pretty good theory. Nick, any other comments?
I don't think I've ever heard of time slips with
creatures.
No, with specifically the Loch Ness Monster. So I didn't know that. That was a thing. I mean, it makes sense.
I'm making a thing right now.
You believe in time slips? I don't know if it's a thing
that's been proposed. Yeah, I mean, people believe in time slips. There's no explanation of it or proof of it. But neither is there for a huge creature that currently lives in the Loch Ness. It also would explain why people have different encounters over different time periods, right? Because it either implies there's one creature living for a super long time, or there's multiple creatures, which is even way, 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 way less plausible than just one creature, right? You need to have like a breeding population to be able to sustain itself.
True.
So could just be time slips where they are seeing some prehistoric beast and then it disappears and then they're out of the time slip and they're back to the current times and they'll never see it again or any trace of it.
Wow. Now you're going to make the rest of my stories look dumb.
No, I mean, or grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. be like, oh yeah, that's plausible. All right. 1933, the first photo. So the first photo of the Loch Ness Monster was taken by Hugh Gray, who was walking his dog and took a very blurry picture of what he believed was the monster. Now, it's 1933. Picture quality is not that great to begin with.
How did he do it?
The original negatives were lost. But then in 1963, the contact positives were found. For you kids at home, look up how photos were developed to understand what positives and negatives mean. And so the contact positives were found, and what they saw might shock you was an otter rolling at the surface of the water in a characteristic behavior.
Is it like 1 million percent?
It's pretty clear.
That's funny.
I mean, as clear as you can get.
Yeah.
For 1933.
Did he actually? Yeah. Well, okay, a few questions. How did you just carry a camera around with you back then? Wasn't it a huge setup thing?
I believe so. I don't exactly know. Maybe he was out like nature.
That's true. Yeah,
maybe walking, he was, and yeah, decided to take a picture.
And second, do you think he actually thought it was a monster and he was taking a picture of it? Or do you think he was like, I could pass that as the monster?
It could have been, because as I'll get into later, from far away, you see this thing thrashing around in the water. You can't quite tell the perspective of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a monster. And better to take a picture, I guess, than to miss out. But
that's true. That's true.
But yeah, I don't exactly have all the details on that one, because a better picture comes out the next year.
Oh.
Yeah, this one's one of my favorite stories about the Loch Ness. So, the surgeon's photo. The supposed first photo of the creature's head and neck was taken by gynecologist Robert Kenneth Wilson and published anonymously in the Daily Mail. Now, I think I've got the picture in the show notes here, titled Surgeon's Photo.
Is the label underneath the photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't figure out how to center it, but
yeah, look at that.
On the website, it'll be centered. But yeah, that's the most famous picture of the Loch Ness Monster. So, Wilson claims that he saw the monster, grabbed his camera, and took four photos. Two of these photos came out pretty clearly, one of which was a small head and back, and the other was the same head diving in a diving position. Now, the one that we see here is the first one. The second one is a little blurrier, so it's not really, you know, delved too deeply into. Now, slight problem.
Uh-oh.
Analysis of this image, as you guys might be able to tell after I point it out to you, this image is a small object that has been cropped. So what about something 2 to 3 feet in size. Like, you notice the ripples in the water that are supposed to represent like waves.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are just tiny ripples from this thing floating.
So the scale of this is very, very small, but it was cropped to look like very, very big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's not all. How did we get to here? Like, you know, you don't just submit pictures like that, you know, just for fun. So that's where we get to the Daily Mail. They hired a renowned British South African big game hunter, Marmaduke Wetherill, to get the evidence they needed for the Loch Ness Monster, because they needed a story. So after a short time, Marmaduke found Nessie footprints.
Oh.
Yeah. And he got pictures and evidence of this and submitted it to the Daily Mail. And after a little bit, they were found out to be a hoax. These footprints were found to be casted hippopotamus footprints.
Huh?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, who might have access to hippopotamus footprints?
Remind me what Marmaduke's job was.
A big game hunter.
Where?
British. Well, he was British and South African. Probably a lot of the places in the world.
Interesting.
Did he say, I've got the beast in my sights?
He did, actually.
Oh, okay.
What's as his battle cry.
Oh, nice. What is that a reference to?
Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Is but Frank, big... you're on the right track. Marmaduke Wetherill.
Big Marmaduke suppressing.
Supposedly, he supposedly made these footprints and kind of like stomped them around and took pictures.
Why? Why would he do this?
Why wouldn't he? Like, if you couldn't find any proof, why wouldn't you make proof? It's your job.
Wow. But
the Daily Mail caught wind of this and ridiculed Marmaduke. So, naturally, what did Marmaduke do next, guys?
He made a movie.
No.
He wrote
good
a book.
Reference, though. Nope. He plotted revenge.
Well.
So he assembled a crew. He got his son-in-law, Christian Sperling, a sculpture specialist.
Oh.
His son, Ian, purchaser of the material. And Maurice Chambers, an insurance agent.
No.
The three of them, or four of them, got together, purchased a toy submarine, made a head and neck out of wood putty, brought it to a local pond, and tested it. So they made a mock model of this Loch Ness monster. Then they brought it to Loch Ness and took pictures. And the water bailiff, they started walking over, and while he was heading over, Marmaduke sank the model with his foot, but only after they got pictures of it. Now, wouldn't you know, Maurice Chambers, a good friend of Robert Kenneth Wilson, gynecologist, he gave the photographic plates to his friend, who then published them, saying, look, it's the Loch Ness Monster. So, Marmaduke could be the whole reason behind this Loch Ness Monster hoax.
Oh, man. And so he...
Yeah.
He set it up so that the original guy who took the famous picture got the fake pictures that they made.
Yep. And he's like, hey, check out these pictures. You should go develop them.
Wow. To like... presumably then this was like all exposed, and then this helped discredit like all of it.
This wasn't necessarily exposed for quite some time, I don't believe. Like,
oh, so he didn't even like
people.
He didn't make it happen, and then turn around. And you like, you guys just
I
got
don't
duped.
Think so. I'm pretty sure that, like they were like, yeah, this is real, and they're meanwhile they're like laughing to themselves.
Oh, that's so sinister. That's funny though.
I know. So that's one of my favorite stories about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's like crazy that there is so much detail put into this just to make it a hoax.
Wow.
Plus Marmaduke's a very fun name to say.
It really is, right?
And he was a big game hunter.
True. So that's the story behind the surgeon's photo, or allegedly what had happened. So, moving on, 1938, and this is when I start to, you know, parse through some of the stories because, you know, what's been done has already been done, and, you know, it's more of like, yep, someone else saw it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Gets repetitive. But 1938, the Taylor film, aka film Taylor's version. South African tourist G.E. Taylor filmed something in the lock he believed to be the monster for about 3 minutes of 16 millimeter color film. Analysis of this film concluded it was a floating object.
Yeah, a floating monster.
No, like an inanimate floating object. So, not a lot there, but it was important to note it's the first film that was developed. of the Loch Ness Monster. Another big first is the sonar. The fishing boat Rival 3 and its crew noticed a large object on sonar keeping pace with their ship at a depth of 479 feet and followed the ship for about 2,600 feet before contact was lost.
What year was this?
1954.
Okay.
So, you know, sonar is not super great, but there's this thing almost 500 feet below
them,
following for 2,600 feet. It's like half a mile, isn't it?
About.
Yeah. So this was the first positive sonar attempt. Like, not just like, oh, there might be something. Like, this was a pretty... It wasn't inconclusive. It was unsure of what it actually was, but it wasn't inconclusive. So what do you guys think about this creature potentially following them?
Now, this kind of goes into, it's like similar with like Champ, obviously, in Lake Champlain, like they're the similar kind of creature, but like, it doesn't even necessarily have to be like a plesiosaur or whatever. It could just still be some undiscovered thing swimming around in the lake.
That's an interesting note, Nick. Make sure to remind me about that later, of undiscovered thing. But yeah, you're definitely right. Nothing's saying that this is a plesiosaur. All it's saying is something big and fast. So
not Frank.
No.
Not me.
Frank swimming in the Loch Ness? No.
In the money pit?
With the Knights Templar?
Oh, if only. I'm curious about how deep Loch Ness is, so I'm looking it up, and turns out it's very deep. How deep is it? Well, its deepest point is 230 meters, which is 126 fathoms, which is 755 feet.
How many leagues is it?
That's a good question. Let's quick convert.
Yeah, let's proselytize. wait, wrong thing.
It's 0.04 leagues.
Oh.
Wow, a league must be big.
Yeah. Imagine 40,000 of them.
Wow. The ocean is deep. So yeah, it's the second deepest loch in Scotland after Loch Morar. And it contains more water than all the lakes in England and Wales combined. So it is pretty deep, and it's very murky. Like very, very murky.
So it's hard to see anything visibility. Anyway.
So it's, I mean, who knows what's at the bottom?
True. Nonetheless, sonar could have been something, could have been nothing. We'll never know. Unless we do. And then that would be we'll do our
we should
own
do an episode sonar
on that.
Trip in Loch Ness. Once
if any of us become billionaires. Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I would fund. Forget like cancer research. Loch Ness research.
Wow.
Other people are doing cancer research. Where am I going to contribute to it? Well, who's doing the actual money? Real... You know, who's doing the, like, who's the guy that owns Skinwalker Ranch? I was putting money into Bigelow.
Ron Bigelow?
I think Rob Bigelow.
Rob Bigelow.
Some millionaire is like, I like paranormal stuff. Let's put money into researching it. That's cool.
Well, Frank, just you wait till I get into the searches section, because there's a lot of stuff about searching for the Loch Ness Monster.
Awesome.
These are just like amateur sightings.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
By last chance. Sighting that I found interesting. Obviously, there's plenty since then. Like, I think the most recent one was like 3 years ago.
Wow.
That made it on Wikipedia, at least. It was like drone footage or something. But Dinsdale film. This is the better film, I guess. So an aeronautical engineer, Tim Dinsdale, filmed a dark hump leaving a wake in the water in Loch Ness. Now, a couple decades later, they enhanced the film and noticed a shadow in the negative that appeared to be what was a rear body of a creature under the water. So this caused some debate, like, whoa, is this the real deal? I didn't see any conclusive dismissal of this. Like, you know, the other one, it was like it was a log or something. This one, I didn't see any like conclusive dismissal, but the academics believe that the film was a combination of poor lighting conditions. Dinsdale had a pretty bad sense of confirmation bias. So, you know, when they enhanced this thing, he's like, oh, yeah, 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 that's it. That's it. You know, seeing what he wanted to see. And that the shadow was probably a boat or the reflection of the shore. So, yeah, it's a little lackluster, but it's an explanation, I guess.
No, that's interesting. I think these academics.
I know.
Are they open
on my nerves
to the idea of a Loch Ness monster? I don't know. I don't think they are.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out. So, that was the last of our sightings. Now we're going to go into the searches. So, there's a lot of searches over a lot of decades. I didn't go into too much depth, so I kind of just did like the bullet point list of things you should know. So, 1934, we're jumping back. Edward Mountain. 20 men with binoculars and cameras sat at the lock 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 5 weeks.
Wow.
Full-time job.
Yeah, wait. Were they...
I don't know if they were paid or volunteered or what, but...
That one unemployed friend on a Tuesday...
Yeah, probably still did more work than one employees.
Wow. We are unfortunately not going to get sponsored by one. Thanks, Nick.
Good.
Or you get sponsored by New York State Capitol.
So, yeah. 20 men just sitting there taking pictures and looking at the lake, hoping to see something. They did take 21 pictures, although none of them were really conclusive. And there was film taken, although it was believed to be what I had already mentioned, an otter.
You know,
which is a very common scapegoat, but
this whole
into some other ones later.
This whole thing was probably just an excuse, you know, like to go out and hang out with the boys.
I know.
20 of them, like, though?
Yeah. The wives are like, what do you, get to work. You got to put food on the table. And they're like, got to hang out. I mean, gotta search for the Loch Ness monster. Gotta search for Nessie.
Gotta keep us safe.
Gotta keep it safe for the neighborhood watch. It's very important. Me and the boys go out there for five weeks.
I think we should do something like that.
We should. We can convince our significant others.
Yeah.
But it's Castlehuska.
We've got to go to Prague.
But we'll actually probably disappear.
Yeah. Into the hellhole.
Yeah.
So, Frank, remember you were saying, like, oh, why don't we just put funding into Loch Ness research?
I do remember saying that.
They did. The Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau was formed in 1962 and ran for about a decade.
Aww.
Formed
what?
To study and identify the Loch Ness monster.
Well, what happened to it?
I don't know. I think it just disbanded after it like rebranded. I didn't look into the specifics, but you certainly can at home.
Yeah, restart it.
Yeah, true. So there was an insane amount of funding. I think it was like $20,000 was offered by like the World Atlas or something. I forget what the... Hang on. It was some book. Like
encyclopedia,
historical book, yeah, some kind of encyclopedia.
They offered 20,000, and that would be like 100,000 nowadays.
I don't know about that much, but because this was in 1967,
I bet you
book encyclopedia offered to fund a 2-year program of daylight watches from May to October. So
wow,
there you go. There's your Loch Ness funding.
Awesome.
There was also like dues, I guess, like annual subscription charges to be in this bureau. And there were, in 1969, there were over 1,000 members.
Wow.
Yeah. So you thought it was just measly photographers taking pictures.
I guess not.
Were sticks. No, there was whole like committees set up and stuff. There was also a ton of sonar done in like after the 70s and so on, done by D. Gordon Tucker and Robert Rhines in two separate sets of studies. And then in 1987, I found this one particularly interesting, Operation Deep Scan. 24 boats, echolocation equipment, simultaneously sent acoustic waves to scan the area.
The whole lake? And
now, they found significant images that could be debris at the bottom, but it was odd because there were, in three of the pictures, there appeared to be motion.
Oh, motion in the ocean.
Yeah.
So was it Ocean Man?
Pretty interesting. Now, there's a lot of explanations for it. Could be like fish, like a group of fish all the way down there. But I don't know. I kind of thought this was interesting. But what do you guys think?
I think it was a group of fish just who happened to be in the shape of the Loch Ness Monster at the bottom of the lake.
That would make the most sense.
Yeah,
on like a ladder.
Finding Nemo?
Yeah, like yes, Finding, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of like
that was actually a documentary of the Loch Ness.
What, yo? Well, I know, is Loch Ness connected to like, does it have underwater tunnels to other bodies of water, or is that like Champlain? I know one of these lakes that has a creature has underwater or potentially has underwater connections to other bodies of water.
Maybe the Ogopogo, isn't that another one?
Bless you.
I didn't see
that?
Anything about the Loch Ness Monster having that ability. So you're welcome to do some more research and find out, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Ogopogo is in Canada.
Hmm.
Is that a similar creature?
Lake monster, but it's Canada. Time.
Oh, interesting. All right. So yeah, it could be debris, could be a group of fish, could be a lot of things. Now, the last search that I found particularly interesting, and Sarah might as well, is they did a DNA survey of the loch. Team of university researchers did DNA survey of the loch in 2018.
It's pretty recent.
Wow. It's pretty recent. So they kind of just, I guess, grabbed a sample of the loch and diagnosed the DNA from the sample and looked to see if there's anything like large or that might fit the category. There was no large things like sharks or whales or anything like that. The one interesting thing they did find, though, was a lot of eel DNA. Yeah, which is interesting because that either means there's extremely large eels in the loch, or there's a lot of small eels.
I feel like those are good band names. Extremely large eels or
yeah,
a lot of small, everyone give up for a lot of small eels. Come on,
yeah,
Sage.
We're an indie pop band.
It does sound like indie, right? Like underground.
Yeah. But yeah, nothing in this DNA survey was found that would, you know, explain the Loch Ness Monster except for the eels potentially. So yeah, that's the major searches. What do you guys think about those? Which ones do you find most credible, least credible?
I think going back to like, oh, it could be another kind of creature. It could be a giant eel.
Yeah.
Like a undiscovered massive eel.
Yeah, that's one of the leading theories, actually, is that it's just a large eel.
Oh, and I interesting. Think
that makes sense, because that's still a cryptid, because it's undiscovered.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, I'll get into that a little deeper in a sec, but yeah, it's certainly a real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
An Frank? Eel possibility?
Anyway. Frank, what do you think other than puns?
Pictures are so difficult. Obviously, they capture a moment in time without the motion, without the context, without sometimes the color or the resolution. And sonar. I mean, and the echolocation stuff, what are you supposed to make of that? It's really, especially back then when the technology wasn't as developed. I don't know. I guess eel DNA. 1987
is pretty recent.
Yeah, but.
Relatively.
Yeah, definitely relatively compared to the 30s. But the eel DNA is very interesting. I mean, you can imagine, obviously, the eel is roughly similar to what people imagine the neck of the creature. So
yeah
but all I'm right. still attached to time slips.
Okay, well, I'm gonna get into some explanations, some interesting, some less interesting. Definitely not as interesting as a time slip or Aleister Crowley. So Nick, do you want to talk about Crowley?
For the sake of brevity, basically, yeah. Crowley being the debaucherous man he is.
The world's most evil man.
The world's most evil man. He bought like property or a home on Loch Ness and did his gross, disgusting sex magic and summoned the Loch Ness monster.
When was this?
The early 1910s?
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't see that in the Wikipedia article.
Big Marmaduke doesn't want you finding out about Crowley.
He was in on it with Crowley. He was probably there in his sex magic rituals.
No, Marmaduke was Crowley, and he was trying to the scent off of the thing and be like, oh, it's just a hoax. Don't worry about it.
It probably was a scent. You're right. Probably a terrible scent.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably. But, all right. Well, time slips and sex magic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into some more mundane yet interesting explanations, I suppose. So the first up, giant eels. Now, what's interesting about this one is in 1856, in a different lake near Lurbost, I don't know exactly where that is, there was legend of a sea serpent or a kelpie in this freshwater lake. And it was eventually found out to be an oversized eel. So, very plausible that maybe it's just an eel that's causing all these sightings, or like a population of eels. So, second one's a little silly in my opinion, but
alien.
An elephant.
What?
An elephant. So, some of these pictures that were taken could be mistaken for like an elephant trunk sticking out of the water, because, you know, elephants do that sometimes.
They go underwater?
Yeah, elephants can swim underwater briefly, I believe.
Are they known?
Ask Sarah right now.
Oh, honey.
Okay, Sarah, do you know if elephants can go underwater? For extended periods of time?
Not for extended periods of time.
I believe elephants are more dense than water. And I think they would sink.
Interesting. So yeah, like you'd have to be like up on the shore and like just go down.
Unless, hear me out, it's an eel-elephant hybrid.
An eel-elephant hybrid.
They made it.
I'm going to show Sarah the picture and ask her what she thinks. What do you think this is?
That is Nessie, the sea monster of Danville Shores.
Okay. Is that Phineas and Ferb?
Good reference.
Good reference. Good reference. So yeah, the elephant thing, every single paranormal thing, people say escaped circus animal.
Oh.
I hate it. They're Frank, like, Bigfoot
someone suggested,
escaped apes from the circus? What circus?
No, they didn't say escaped.
The circus of Bigfoot.
Yes.
True. They said that there were traveling circuses and they may have let the elephants bathe in the lock. Which is why they, you know, people see these trunks traveling. And they're like, what the heck is that?
So yeah. There's a whole circus in town. They're going to bring in all their animals to bathe in the Loch Ness.
Mm-hmm.
There's an elephant that sinks and it goes just deep enough into the water where it's underwater, but it puts its trunk out of the water. There's no other animals around. There's no people around.
And there's consistent reports throughout centuries.
And
they're all just traveling circuses.
What do you think people do? Like they
need that +2 happiness.
They
Circus Maximus, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I could think of possibly. Because obviously there would be people and other animals around, right? The only thing I think of is like an elephant is so well trained that they tell an elephant, okay, you go ahead. You go on out. We're going to let you go. Go over to the Loch Ness. Go bathe. Come back now. So like the elephant is on its own in Loch. Like it's ridiculous.
I'm telling you. And you know what's funny? You instantly dismissed that, but you're like, time slip, sex magic? Nah, it's totally plausible.
Time slip explains everything perfectly.
How does it work?
That part's not important.
Oh, okay.
It's not important. I just imagine
it's not important how the elephants bathe.
No, because we understand bathing mechanics and elephant mechanics.
Well, two of the three of us in this call do.
You can't. Aaron, explain to me, how could there be an elephant under the water and there aren't people around? And other elephants. There's only one elephant?
I don't know, man. I didn't make the theory. I'm just spreading the word.
Time slips are unironically more reasonable than elephants from a traveling circus. I will die in that hill.
All right. You heard it here first.
I will
elephants
die.
Elephants aren't real. Time slips are.
It could be a time slip with a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, that's it.
We cracked the case.
There you go.
So, next explanation. We're going to hop over to our friend Jeremy Wade from the hit TV show River Monsters.
Mm.
Wait. His name's Wade?
Yes, Jeremy Wade.
And River Monsters is his show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wade. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bro, this guy is actually like really smart. Like, I looked him up. He's like, he knows like 5 languages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think he is
like draconian, like
yeah, you can speak dragon to talk to Nessie.
Yeah, they're
yeah. So he knows French, Portuguese, Spanish, English. It's crazy.
Latin.
He's got a degree in zoology and a postgraduate teaching degree in the biological sciences.
Oh wow!
So like he's pretty smart.
What a nerd.
Also. You know, his show was so successful that like he found every river monster he was looking for and the show just ended.
What do you mean? He found every
Yeah, like look it up. He was like the show was just so successful he ran out of things to look for.
He found every river monster.
Yep.
There it is.
Okay.
So he investigated the Loch Ness Monster and he believes it's actually a Greenland shark.
Wow.
Like Why? A shark from yeah. the country of Greenland.
Well, it in more places than just that. But they can go to up to 20 feet in length.
Oh, my.
Wow.
They're pretty interesting creatures. They're also like mad old. Like I think there's one out there that's just older than the United States. Vibing.
Damn.
I'm not even kidding. So that could explain, like, you know, yeah, their estimated lifespan is between 250 and 500 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Same.
So, yeah, 20 feet long, dark in color.
Same.
Could survive in the fresh water on all the salmon and other fish that's there. So it's a plausible explanation, though.
Yeah.
Better than an elephant.
Yes, better than an elephant.
Okay. Well, I think anything's better than an elephant.
I agree.
I think I'd believe Crowley did it before an elephant.
Me too, because he's fucked up.
He opened up a portal and many more things than just Loch Ness Monster came through.
Yeah.
A lot more stuff came.
Aaron's ancestors probably came through.
Yeah. Am I related to Nessie?
You've got some Nessie. You've got some eel DNA.
Don't do 23andMe.
Really big eel DNA in you.
You got that dog in me. So another explanation on the fish characterization is the Wells catfish. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Wells catfish is a big ass catfish.
Fair enough.
That's pretty much it. But they are, let's see, how big do these guys get? Size. They can get to lengths of up to 9.8 feet, maximum weight of 440 pounds. They're really long. So, like, these things could pretty easily be mistaken for a sea serpent. So, I urge you to find a picture. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes of a Wells catfish and a Greenland shark. But they're pretty long things. Another explanation is otters or seals.
Nah.
Why are you saying no, Nick?
That only happened like a handful of times.
What?
The otters, like, oh, they took a picture, it was the otters.
No, okay. But hear me out, though. You've got a group of otters or a group of seals swimming, you know, cresting above the water, under the water.
Yep.
If you have a group of those things, don't you think just maybe if you catch it right, there's these things that look like humps coming out of the water, sea serpent?
Maybe.
You got individual humps coming out at, you know, distances apart. Could be a sea serpent.
Oh, I don't know if otters are 400 feet below the water.
Okay, well, could explain some of the
if you kill
sightings,
them.
Maybe not all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, just like an elephant could explain some, but not all.
I'll give the elephant one time.
Okay. So now we're going to move to some non-alive explanations. So natural or boat wakes. There was an instance in which a bartender and 26 other witnesses reported a wake that they believed was a creature zigzagging and diving in the lock. And it is known that wakes from boats obviously do that same behavior, but also wakes and sykes, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Interesting.
Can also be caused by earthquakes.
I think you're thinking of Ryan's wake.
Yeah, Ryan's wake caused.
Don't eat the messy steak tacos at Ryan's wake. That's all I'll say.
Frank has a weak little tummy.
Another time, another episode.
Yeah. We delve into why Frank can't eat certain foods.
The Reuben was delicious.
Okay. Good to know. Another explanation, classic, is tree logs.
Oh yeah, driftwood.
Yep,
that's the lamest one.
Boring.
I know. Optical effects.
Okay.
So atmospheric refraction can distort the shape and size of objects and animals.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of nerdy, and I didn't really get into the mechanics behind it, but like,
yeah, you're the optics
makes
guy.
Sense. Like, you.
Yeah, what are you, an you engineer?
See, yeah, I know. But you see, like, a seal or something in the water. Atmospheric refraction makes it look big and dark and, you know, whatnot. Could be that. Another interesting one, seismic gas.
Oh,
now I'm not referring to what happened to Frank after the steak tacos from last week. I'm talking about the fact that Loch Ness is right above the Great Glen Fault, which can, you know, release gas through it and potentially be mistaken for something swimming. Go ahead, Frank.
No. I was going to
say your joke.
No.
Go ahead.
It wasn't even fully thought out. Now. I was going to say, I was going to make a joke about me having a Great Glen Fault on my butt, but it doesn't. I'm cutting this.
That's what you went with?
I know. My butt crack, you know?
Wow.
I do have to go in just a few minutes, but can I end on a ridiculous thing I found that segues perfectly?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So I'll try and speed through. There's only three more. Plesiosaur. Is it extinct? Probably. Or is it? One theory is that there's convergent evolution, which I don't know if you guys know what that is. Kind of just like localized evolution that converges back to something. And it could be that there's a population in the Loch Ness that's evolved to look like a plesiosaur.
Or a time slip. It doesn't have to be a plesiosaur living now. They saw a plesiosaur living back then.
I'm not discrediting
that. Doesn't that work perfectly?
Yeah. I'm not discrediting
that. I think it's explained. I think.
I'm just trying to present Crowley all possible.
Kicked off the time slips.
That's probably true.
So, that's the paranormal stuff, I guess. there's a couple more, I guess, more reasonable explanations. Long-necked giant newt. I saw very little evidence for this, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Unlikely explanation.
Yeah. And a bristle worm or some other invertebrate. Like, have you seen like giant worms? Like,
only in ocean. I've never seen a giant worm.
Did you say only in Dune, Nick?
Yeah.
Nice.
Where then they just stole the Mongolian death worm, but
yeah. So if you look up, like, I mean, you don't have to look it up right now, but like giant worms and stuff, there are these things that, you know, if you know, you see them at the right angle, could look like a big hump in the water. Again, not really believing that one, but
no.
I personally think it's giant eels or a Greenland shark. Like, I trust Jeremy Wade on this.
The Greenland shark is pretty accurate, I think.
It's pretty interesting.
All right. Frank, we know that you're a camp time slip. Are there any other ones that you could believe?
I think giant eel or the Greenland shark is possible. Realistically, I think people see logs all the time and they go, oh my God, it's Nessie. But like, in terms of like what actually might be a creature, could be that. But yeah, I did come across some new news in the Nessie world, if I could touch on that.
Okay, go for it.
Well, you see, there's this new book out called Under Lock and Key, spelled lock as in Loch Ness, by an author, Lana Ferguson. And I'm going to put this cover in the show notes, and you could see it's one of those young adult smut romance crap novels, which I'm not very familiar with at all.
Not one bit.
Where it's a girl at Loch Ness, and a guy in a kilt is like 1 foot in the lake and 1 foot out and kissing her hand, and he casts a shadow in the lake, and it's the shadow of the Nessie picture that we just saw. And it looks like this book's coming out the end of this year, and it's the category of paranormal fiction, paranormal and fantasy romance.
Oh, dude!
So this girl
I dated
is gonna bone the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah. Exactly. So my final statement is that Well, let me just read this little subtext. A woman discovers that not all monsters are her enemy. The opposite, in fact. In this new paranormal romance by Lana Ferguson, the author of The Fake Mate.
The what?
Anyway, this is causing a stir because people are pissed that Nessie is depicted as a male here in this
Nessie
book.
Is always because she. Nessie has
traditionally been a she. But
it's 2024, though.
If you look at the author's about page, it says that Lana Ferguson is a sex-positive nerd whose works never shy from spice or sass. So personally, I think we should read this book when it comes
personally,
out.
Personally, I think we should write one of these books. We could make so much money and then, you know, have this side hustle. All we got to do is write paranormal fanfics.
More. And it would be paranormally accurate.
Yeah.
We really could. And it's a big genre right now.
I mean, there'd be a special place for us. In hell to write that.
Right next to Crowley, right? Literally right next to Crowley.
Probably.
Actually, yes. Right with him.
I don't want to be there with him.
No, who knows what he'd do to us in there. But yeah, so personally, I think the most likely scenario is either a time slip or it is a hunk shapeshifter man that isn't that's like an ancient beast that is into teenage girls.
All right, Nick, can you top that?
No.
What do you think the Greenland shark?
Yeah, I think I like the Greenland shark more than the eel.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's all I've got. Any final parting words of wisdom or anything from Frank?
God, I wish he would kiss my hand and take me under the countless fathoms of Loch Ness.
The 0.4 leagues.
The 0.04 leagues.
Oh, 0.04.
Frank, just make the sign of the cross. He can't do that to you.
Oh, true. Be like St. Columba.
True, true. I channel St. Columba and say, don't touch me. Go back home.
Or Padre Pio. Or Padre Pio.
Honestly. It's going to be $20. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. So what a way to end off this season. Talking about paranormal fanfic.
Smut.
So thank you guys for a wonderful first season. It's been a pleasure doing this with you two. And all the countless guests we've had.
True.
And hopefully we get some more good stories and more good laughs, because honestly, this, I don't think there's any Nessie, but it was really fun to talk about, don't you think?
What? Ignoring your first point, your second point, yes, it was fun to talk about.
And
it has been a great year.
I think I will be starting us off strong for season two.
Wonderful. You already know?
I have some ideas, but I will start it off with as crazy as we can get.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
All right. Well, I got to do the outro, but follow us on all the platforms we have. We have a Facebook page. Do that. Don't forget to listen, tell your friends, all that fun stuff. And remember, Loch Ness Monster is just an elephant, and Bigfoot's just a cow on a ladder.
True.
True. True.
See you next season and next Wednesday. Well, next Wednesday. And then...